Welcome to Manager Tools.
This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, Building Your Bench, part two of two.
The questions this cast answers are, how can I speed up my hiring process? How can I improve the quality of the candidates I see? And where should I look for new hires?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
If you've been following and implementing our management guidance for a while and you've achieved great results, you might be asking, what's next? We're excited to introduce our newest offering, the Effective Senior Manager Organizational Training. If you have a group of senior or upper-level managers looking to improve, the guidance will make them and your organization more effective. We'll start talking about Team One, advancing careers. We'll talk about how to manage managers. We'll talk about, as well, communication and provide your managers with a masterclass on effective communication within the organization. Attendees will gain exposure to the executive systems that drive the relationship from above. Contact Maggie to learn more and schedule your organizational training. So how do you actually build your bench? And this may be the easiest core recommendation in any guidance we've ever put out. Just start thinking about having a bench and pay attention to others to see whether or not they're good enough to be on your bench. That's really all it takes. I always think of it as like confirmation bias. No, that's not the right term. What's the term for if you're, for example, shopping for a specific car and then your brain shows you every time you see that car? Like, what's the term for when you just start noticing a thing because you're aware?
I don't know what the term is. I never knew it had a name. I'm sure it does.
I'm sure it does.
I don't know it.
Humans love to name things. And that's it. If you tell yourself, if you start to think of this thing, your brain will help you to see it and look at it and view it differently. So that's really all you have to do is just turn on this thought process in your brain. And to go a little further than that, building a bench internally and externally is simply a subset of building your network. And building a network is in actually our Hall of Fame Career Tools guidance. So that's something you can go and look at in terms of podcasts, but it's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. Exactly. So if you don't yet have a bench or you haven't been thinking about a bench up until now, just use the term bench and network synonymously because they're kind of the same thing, to be perfectly honest. And there are three rules for building your network, and they're quite simple. The first one is build volume indiscriminately. Don't worry too much of as you're creating all of these relationships with people, as you're networking, if you will, about what that person's value is to you. Don't be thinking that you've gotta only meet and pay attention to people who are at higher levels than you because you want your bench to contain people who are at higher levels. Don't target key people and ignore other people just because of their power or their status. Just meet all the people and connect with those people who are trustworthy and smart and nice. So first, build volume indiscriminately. Collect all the people. Second, give, give, give. Don't think about what you can receive from the people on your bench. Rather, just be there to give people on your bench what they need. People do not want to have a relationship with you if you are just a taker. They don't. People don't want to build a relationship with you because you've collected them like they are a postage stamp for your bench. They don't want that. Just be a giver and a favor doer. Just be kind and polite. Offer up your services where and when you can to people in your network on your bench. And then ultimately. And then finally, stay in touch with, or in manager tool lingo, control shift K, those people in your network. To build a network and a bench within it takes nothing more than staying in touch with people. Just reaching out to people, just saying, hey.
Yeah. And we recommend that you do this on a recurring basis. And part of the reason for that, y'all, is because when you're, well, one of the benefits of it, I'll say, is that when you're doing this on a recurring basis, you're less likely to be reaching out to people when you need something and more likely to just be reaching out to communicate or offer. It's so much easier to do it, to reach out and talk to people when you don't need anything. So just start now, you know, reach out, send a note right now when you don't need anything. And you can, I mean, honestly, use ChatGPT to make yourself a cute little sweet nice note. And then send it and do this for, I don't know, 15 minutes a day or something, like once a month. It's that simple. Really, when you think about it, if you're going to build and maintain a network, which includes a bench, you've got to get people into the network and then keep them there. The quantity as well as the quality of interactions with someone is important for keeping them in the network. For some reason, we all fall prey to enjoying friendships that we run into, but as we move and change jobs, people just fall away from us. And we all have at least one story of regret, like wishing we'd stayed in touch with someone. And you don't have to go through that regret. You really don't. You can keep in touch and do it more often, y'all. That's the thing too, is because once you've gone too long, this just happened to me. I was in Target about a year ago, and someone I used to be very, very close with, in fact, really close with, now has a chapstick line with Burt's Bees. And I saw her name on a chapstick. And I hadn't spoken to her in long enough that she's changed her phone number. And so now I can't get a hold of her. And I'm so sad because I actually sent an email to her old email address and said, oh my gosh, congratulations on what is clearly a wild amount of success. I also then looked her up on social media and discovered that, yes, wild amounts of success. But I was so sad because I waited too long and there was genuinely no reason, just other than like the universe hadn't thrown us together. Geography hadn't brought us together in a while. And I bought some chapstick that she made because that's the only way I can support her at this point because, hey, guess what? I can't get a hold of her.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's exactly. So sad. Exactly. I'm so sad.
And folks, this last piece, the staying in touch piece, is really the easiest rule of the three rules. It's really easy. All you got to do is capture information from the person and make a note to stay in touch. That's it. You pick a period of time between calls and emails. Set yourself some reminders to call them or to email them. We actually have a podcast. It's a 20 years old podcast right now. It's called Control Shift K. And that's where it comes from. In Microsoft Outlook, which many of us still use, Control Shift K creates a task. And you create a task. Essentially, it says, stay in touch with Roberto Alvarez, whomever. And then you can use Control G to make it recurring and set some sort of recurrence frequency. It can be every 3 months or 5 months, or it could be once every 83 days or once every 127 days. It doesn't really matter. It's more or less based on your sense of the individual and your relationship with the individual. 6 months, I would suggest, is about the upper limit to maintain some sort of connection. You want to be reaching out more than like twice a year, or twice a year at minimum. And we'd say about every 3 months is the shortest amount of time to reach out to those people that you have very tenuous connections with to say, hey.
And then you're probably wondering, okay, what do you say? Well, if it's on the phone, you say, hey, Cleo, this is Kate. Hope this finds you well. I was in Dallas the other day and thought of you and hope the move to Chicago went well and the new job was excellent. Work here is fine. Family's fine. Best wishes. Have a great weekend. Nothing wrong with leaving a voicemail on a work line at 7 p.m. Do be ready to chat though if you end up getting
if they pick
phone.
It up.
Yeah, just be ready to chat. So that's a voicemail or a reach out. You don't always need to send articles or have something specific to offer, as some guidance recommends. Some guidance says, hey, you have to have something like a link or something like that. You don't have to do that. Does it help? Sure. And don't let it stop you from getting in touch. In fact, you could even say, I know I probably should have something to say, but what I have to say is I'm just thinking about you, or you crossed my mind. I was talking to Gary about this the other day about how when you are giving a gift, cash feels really impersonal. And when you're getting a gift, cash is the best. And it's the same thing here, right? You feel badly that you don't have anything like to share. Like, oh, I don't have an article. I don't have anything to like say. And if you were to receive an email that said, oh, you crossed my mind, just checking in, you would be delighted. You'd think to yourself, how nice, right?
In fact, somebody in my network reached out to me today with an article. And I was immediately like, oh my God, don't make me read this article, dude. just say hi. Don't make my life hard. Now I got to go read this thing. And I'm just like, yeah, no, I would rather not even get an article. Don't send me an article. Don't send me a link. Don't send a, hey, did you see this thing? Just be like, hey, I would love to say hey, but I don't want to read the article.
Honestly, totally fair. Some of the articles that people send are so long. I don't find that people send like short articles. So Wall Street Journal right now, I think it's the Wall Street Journal. They're doing a thing that tells you how long it'll take you to read that article.
Oh, yeah.
My gosh. Somebody sent me one the other day. It was a 17-minute read.
Oh, wow.
And I will say, this person knew that I had already read it. I wasn't expected to read it. They knew that I would have read it, and I had. And if somebody sent me something and it was going to take 17 minutes, now we're making it sound like, please don't, like, we don't want people to send us stuff. We do. And I feel ya. It would be better for, I would feel happier about my level of input if somebody sent me a note that said, you crossed my mind.
Yeah.
As opposed to, please read this 17-minute article.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
No way. No. So you don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that. Don't get wrapped around the axle. Don't worry too terribly much about it. What do I say? How do I say it? To Kate's point earlier, yo, get ChatGPT to write you up something small and cute. You don't have to spend a bunch of hours doing this. Just get them in your funnel, start developing a relationship. The other stuff will come. Say hi. Just stay in touch. That is it. And have a technique to stay in touch. And the best, easiest, simplest, cheapest way we know to do that is having recurring tasks that remind you to stay in touch. So that when you sit down at your desk every single morning and you open up your task manager, you're going to see that you have a few quick emails or some text messages or some phone calls, whatever they are to make. You can get them done first thing in your day and you're building your network. You're building your bench.
Yeah, it's true that for some people, maybe empty disk, high I's and high S's come to mind to you. It's natural. It's easy. It feels comfortable. And for others, high C's and high G's, it's harder. But a bench is a core attribute of effective professionals. So whether it's easy or hard is less crucial than, is it necessary? And we would suggest it is necessary. There's components for every single person of their job that either come naturally to us or don't. Things that we love to do, things that we don't love to do, things that we don't love to do that are necessary. We're not asking you to do it because it's easy. We're asking you to do it because it's the right thing to do and because it will help you to be successful in the same way that turning in your timesheet or things like that make you successful. Although I would suggest this is not as boring as your timesheet or as like drudgery as, you know, that kind of situation. We're just suggesting it because we know it will support you. And also one of the big benefits of this is the recurring keep in touch function means that you will struggle less to think of people when you need to hire. For example, if you haven't kept in touch with somebody for 4 or 5 years and you're ready to hire, this happened to me a couple of years ago. I realized after we'd already hired somebody that I knew somebody who was perfect. Now, I will say the person we hired is fantastic and I would not trade them out at this point. I know that. However, right as we were going through that process, I realized, oh my gosh, I know this other person that we didn't even talk to because I hadn't talked to them in so long that I forgot about them. And it took my brain a really long time to remind me about them. So for those of you who are senior managers or even executives, your bench plays a huge role in your continued career climb. Executives are expected to have their own bench and expected to hire from it. If you don't have that yet, you're at a disadvantage to those of your peers and colleagues who do have one, who take a little time each week to stay in touch with the people in their network and keep people on their bench and have people on their bench. So if you are a senior manager, which by the way, if you're a senior manager, you should come to our senior manager conference and think about a bench. Think about the people you know. You have a lot of experience. Surely that experience has caused you to bump into people with whom you would like to work or with whom you are able to evaluate whether or not working with them would be positive or negative. So just think through, who do you know?
Yeah, and build your internal and external benches. So folks, your internal bench comprises those you know who work within your current company. That might be right for the role you're in now or a future role working for you or maybe even working for someone else that you know. When you're just starting to think about having a bench. You don't have to be that specific or that rigid. Just start with basically the people that work in the company I work in that I like and I trust. Basically, that's it. It's that simple. So for instance, it's possible that you don't think of someone a couple levels below you as being good enough for promotion to work directly for you. But that doesn't mean that person shouldn't be on your bench. Maybe they're a little bit green, sure, yes, but they have the basic professional skills down pretty well. Maybe they'd be great working for one of your directs. And if they worked for one of your directs, to be clear, that makes your overall organization better. And who knows, maybe they'll bloom and demonstrate some high-level skills in the next year or two. So for now, keeping them on your bench is the right plan. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if someone on your bench, this is often the case, is in an area where your work and their work overlap, copy them regularly on updates of your team's work, just to keep them tangentially informed. This too is a form of staying in touch. If they don't want it, they'll tell you or they'll ignore you. Both of those things are fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, folks. But don't simply assume that because another person may not be overly interested in what your team is working on, that they aren't interested in what your team's working on. If their stuff interests you and your team or organization, ask them to be included on some of the things they're working on. You never know, right? Maybe they can share something with you that would help you in your career or for you to learn part of the organization, or it would help maintain stronger relationships with that person.
Yeah.
Whatever it be, just ask to be included.
Pay attention to those in your organization whom you meet that impress you. Stay in touch with them using the guidance we just shared. We taught you how. Internally, it's easier. You set a recurring task to stay in touch with someone, and frequently you'll just have seen them in a meeting and had a brief chat. And guess what? You won't have to reach out because you've seen them in the last week, or you're gonna see them in this week. You won't have to do anything because, hey, you saw them yesterday, or you can invite them to coffee or something like that. It feels really great to just close the task. Like, oh, you have to reminder to keep in touch with Sean. And then it's like, oh, just kidding. I already talked to Sean today because I saw him yesterday. So check the box and do a happy dance that it's done. The recurring task, by the way, will save you when they change roles or you change roles and you don't run into them as often.
Mm-hmm.
Don't delete the task. Just check it off when it's been recently done and keep it for the future when, you know, hey, that's different. And also, I think this is especially important in the current world order that we're experiencing. It's worth thinking about getting their personal email for this kind of stuff, guys, because unfortunately, if people change jobs, if the only contact you have for them is internal to the org, you are going to be stuck. That's why I can't get a hold of my friend, because I only had her work phone from before. Now I can't get a hold of her because she doesn't work there anymore. So definitely think about getting like personal contact information if you can. Let's say you're in a larger meeting and you see a lot of people that you might have on your bench. Make a point of finding them to say hello, either before or after, just a few minutes of chatting. They got to know who you are. You got to be like in their mind a little bit too.
Yeah. And folks, I know many of you are remote. You're maybe not going to the office all the time, or you are going to the office, but maybe not everyone you work with is going to be at the office. Maybe you travel. What we would suggest is when you're at headquarters, if you're normally not at headquarters, go a day early and stay a day late so that you have some days, you have some time so you can go for coffee or lunch or even dinner with someone on your bench. And if they don't have time for that, just the activity of asking someone whether or not they'll go for dinner, even if they say no, is still reaching out to a person on your bench. And you can call that a win because you did that activity. You touched base. Some folks don't value relationships as much as others, but that doesn't mean that you don't. Even those people who don't appreciate your attempt to get in touch with them will be connected to, and therefore that person on your bench is rewarmed. Building and maintaining Your external bench is a little bit harder, though, than your internal bench, than the people that you currently work with and colleagues. But folks, it is not that much harder. Your recurring tasks will help you enormously. I assure you, if you do not set up a recurring task, you will not do it. You don't do anything that's not on your calendar in an organized fashion, so make sure it's there. And again, when you're traveling, still think about your external bench. Again, coffee, lunch, drinks, dinner, when you're in the city they're in, all of these great opportunities for reach out and connection with your external contacts.
Yeah, there's two things here that might be helpful. A lot of us use, like, let's say you use Gmail or something like that. There are ways to ask Gmail to remind you and just like bump an email to the top. Like if you send an email to somebody now and then you say like, hey, remind me about this email in a month or 2 months or 3 months. So that's one way to do it, is like your client, you don't even have to set like a calendar reminder sometimes. Your client can remind you about that, you know, you need this email bumped up. And Gmail already does some of that like on purpose, but you can make different settings. So there's obviously other ways to do it. A plugin might do it as well. Another thing is I actually have a list of cities. It's a spreadsheet. And on that list of cities, I keep a list of restaurants because I've gone to some delicious places. So I keep a list of restaurants, but I also keep a list of the people who live in that city. So when you're going somewhere for work travel, I always then know exactly who lives in that city. Because sometimes it's easy to forget, like, oh, I know 5 people in Chicago and I don't have to eat dinner by myself. Although I do eat dinner by myself a lot. Sorry, Danny. My cousin Danny lives there and I don't always eat dinner with her, which is rude of me. I haven't done it recently though. Okay, so let's say you've got your reminders. Let me, you see an article about their firm, their industry. Use that to remind you. Send them a text, send them an email. Again, to our point, you don't have to include the article. Just tell them, hey, I saw something, made me think of you. So few people do this. It stands out, making you seem like someone who cares enough about them to make a small effort, keeps you top of mind. When you send an email to someone on your external bench, ask them for an update. Hey, how's your job? How's your career? How's your family? Whatever feels right to you. These things actually are really important to know because they could have switched industries. They could have gone somewhere else. They could be doing something super cool. I have my city list. I looked at my city list the last time I went to San Francisco. Turns out I hadn't spoken to my friend Jenny in a while. Reached out to her. Hey, I'm going to be in San Francisco. Discovered she has a killer new job. Like, it's so cool. And in fact, I had a thought when she was like, oh yeah, I got a new job. This is it. I thought to myself, all of my friends are grown-ups, which is very, like, we have, like, big kid jobs, like, adult jobs, which I bet other people listening are like, oh, yeah, my friends have big kid jobs, too, now. But I wouldn't have known if I hadn't said, hey, I'm in San Francisco. Do you want to have dinner? So if you keep in mind, I guess, that if you see and talk to them less with longer intervals, it's really hard to keep track of what people are doing. And they could be doing really big stuff. And you want to know what they're doing. Because that might change the relative value of the relationship in terms of your ability to hire them or refer them to somebody in your firm who's in the area. Yeah, I can't tell anybody to hire Jenny anymore because her job is so cool that she's there. That's awesome. And sometimes it means they're more likely to be available, right? So maybe it works out and now you've done somebody a huge favor because they got to hire somebody great because that person was looking or things changed. So now you've done both pieces of work. You've strengthened the relationship and they're on your bench and you've increased the opportunity for future positive benefits of the relationship to both you and them, or even current, I guess, but so many simple things to do. Hey, Austin, I'm hosting an EMC and ECC here in Austin this July. We'll be here the 15th and 16th of July. Come out and learn the next steps to becoming a more effective professional with our effective manager and communications courses. Austin's a great town, and I'd love to host you. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
I hope by now we've convinced you to begin this simple habit. Start thinking about those people whom you know as being in your network, no weird networking skills required, and then ask yourself whether they're the right person to be on your bench. Don't worry about not getting it right. Just open up your thoughts to the opportunity that this person is a potentially an individual that could be on your bench. Your bench is a little bit like the opposite of being open to opportunities. Open to opportunities means not believing that there are only two career states, either I'm happy where I am or I'm looking. Rather, it's I'm happy and simultaneously, I'm open to other opportunities. Your bench is a way of helping others be open to opportunities, your opportunities, and maybe even other opportunities that you know of.
Yeah. It's always better to hire someone with whom you have had a long-term relationship, developed a trusting relationship, rather than looking through a stack of resumes of strangers that came from HR. A lawyer you know is better than a stranger lawyer.
Exactly. Exactly. Line of the day.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week as we cover a new topic. And if you enjoyed today's episodes, don't forget to follow, rate, and review the podcast. It helps more people find us and keeps the conversation going. Have a great day.